Well, if you would this morning, congregation, open your Bible then to the book of Luke. Chapter 22. This being now the fourth in our short series, maybe we'll do more at some other time, but our short series on simple faith. If it's fair to say the most simple thing is needed yet, then we are going to deal with that this morning. And so in Luke chapter 22, our text being verses 31 through 34, you've got the handout there in the bulletin for you. Take notes if that is good for you, keeps your attention, helps you to remember for times to come. But let's all rejoice now to hear God's word. This is his word to us this morning, Luke chapter 22 and at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Therefore he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Thus far, dearly beloved, the rich and wondrous true word of God, do keep your Bibles open and near you if you would. Let's come again to him at the throne of grace and ask his help this morning for these things. Oh Lord, now we thank you that young and old, inexperienced and well-weathered in the gospel, we all delight in and need these things, simple things. But oh Lord, things apart from which no foundation and building can exist. We pray then that you would strengthen us to be able to say the first things first, to be able to know the simple things, and, O Lord, to be strong in them. Help us this morning to be people who confess our sins and run back to Jesus. This is what we ask in his name. Amen. Well, dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as this little series in simple faith has, I think, made abundantly clear, we are not as strong as we think we are. How deeply are you personally aware of your need for Jesus Christ? Are you in some ways, like the Lord worked in blind Bartimaeus, persistent in coming to Jesus Christ? Does it connect with you like the father who, with the demon-possessed child who was sensing and knowing his hopelessness, does he grant to you the sense that there is hope in Jesus Christ? Do you understand the simple faith that rests in union with Christ as the Lord worked in Mary? A simple faith in that union of Christ depending on and drinking from his soul-satisfying word. All Christ-centered. All Christ-glorifying. All of these wonderful overtures of God's grace in this simple faith for believers. But then we come face to face with this reality yet remaining. Sin. But sin. And not sin abstractly. Oh, there's sin out there. Not sin theologically. Oh, I understand, as we read in the baptism form this morning, that we are all conceived and born in sin. Not sin that way, dearly beloved, but my sin and your sin. What about simple faith in the face of our wretched, personal, selfish, vile sins? What then? This, dearly beloved, is ground zero of a simple faith set on Jesus Christ. Simple faith returns to the Lord after great failures of sin. Simple faith returns to the Lord after great failures of sin. Well, there are four things we need to wrestle honestly with this morning. Notice these in your handout first. We are ignorant of the spiritual forces allied against us. And if you are young in the faith, you'll say, well, maybe that's not true of the older folks. Yes, it is. The most mature here this morning will say that's true about me also. I am ultimately ignorant of the spiritual forces allied against me. Secondly, we must know more of the Lord's intercessory work for us. Because thirdly, we too will choose to disgrace Him by our sins. And fourthly, do especially need to hear the Lord's call to return to Him. This is simple faith. It returns to the Lord after great failures of sin. Well, I hope we'll pick up one common phrase that we've been using in several of these sermons, and we will learn to say it about ourselves. We are not as strong as we think we are. We are ants, dust, pond scum. I know, there, we're feeling better about ourselves already, aren't we? I'm pond scum, Pastor said. That's true, isn't it? Indeed, how true is the disharmony that often we think of ourselves, that we are stronger than our own history bears out. That we come perhaps on a Sunday morning or at the end of the Lord's Day, we think about ourselves, well, I'm pretty strong in the faith. And then we get into our week and all of a sudden the crushing realities of our own sin brings us back down to earth. And we forget so often that history of our own path. How true of this, was it with Peter, the rock? Wasn't that what the Lord said about him in Matthew 16, verse 18? Then on that profession, the rock, will the Lord build his church? But we're about to see this rock is really sandstone in and of himself and about to become crushed gravel. He has no clue how weak he really is. It seems to us almost comical. We know the story. We know what's about to happen. We feel so sorry for overly confident Peter. Oh, Peter, you don't know what it is you're about to do. We've read the story. We've seen it for years. But dearly beloved, in respect to Peter, it is true also with us. Peter is me. Peter is you. Simon. Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. Satan? Does he really have any interest in we little people, dust, pond scum? Is he really against us, me, you, individually? Dearly beloved, when we think of the forces, spiritually speaking, allied, lined up against us, we have to name not only the flesh, not only the world, but the devil. What was it that Martin Luther said in that hymn we love so much? His power and craft are great. Who are we really? We're tiny. We're insignificant. We're nothing. Powerless. This is no attempt to belittle us, to demean us. These are simply the biblical facts about us. He is cunning in his evil. The flesh allures us. The world beckons to us like a magnet. We need to get something straight this morning. We need to wrestle with the reality that the acknowledgement of these simple truths are of the essence of true faith. If any one of you this morning hearing my voice are ho-hum or whatever about the reality of the spiritual forces allied against you, the reality is that you are already on the path to a terrible spiritual fall. If you discount, dismiss, set aside as insignificant the danger that we are all in moment by moment, we're already halfway down the path. Real faith, simple faith, says something very different than Peter's answer here. It says, yes, I am weaker by far and more prone to temptation and the strategies of Satan than my current situation in life may bear out. Sift as wheat. We almost don't remember what that means. Maybe you've seen a picture of it. Maybe you've seen it illustrated. There is that one holding the wheat in that large contraption, tossing it up in the air. And that's the meaning of the original word here. That tossing, that shaking, intending to separate, intending to tear apart. Says the Lord to Peter, Satan wants to rip you to shreds. Calvin says here, quote, in his typically soft, as compared to Luther, soft-handed way, Calvin, about this very text, gives us something to think about. It is useful to have before our eyes the snares of Satan. It is useful to have before our eyes the snares of Satan. You see, that metaphor, that's what it is, of sifting or winnowing, carries the idea of a violent tossing, of a shaking, of the purpose of rending, of separating. Oh, Christian, have you not fallen before? Have you not sinned against your Lord before? Since last Sunday, haven't we rashly, presumptuously, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our attitudes, with our hands and our hearts and our heads and our ears and eyes and mouths, haven't we denied Jesus Christ? Haven't you? Didn't you? Do you acknowledge it? If you think that you have not, if there's one or two or a few here this morning who have said, well, you know, not so sure I did, then your problem is much more serious than that of those sitting around you who acknowledge that they have and they did. You see, dearly beloved, what secondly we must know more of is of the Lord's intercessory work for us. We ask the question about simple faith because the Catechism sets forth the reality of what faith is, and it talks about it being knowledge and assent and trust, and we ask, well, what is the basic, what are the fundamental things of knowledge which I must know? Do I need to know more of my own weaknesses? Yes. Do I need to know more of the power of the devil and the world and the flesh allied against me? Certainly, yes, but there's something more. If I could say it this way, more important that we need to grasp rightly, verse 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. To know the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ for His people. Oh, how significant are these things? You see, we would not say of a text like this, if we're careful students of Scripture, we would not answer and say, well, those were words of Christ for Peter. Given the significance, redemptive historically, of these events, Christ is only speaking to Peter. Because the trial that is coming, the contest that is coming, is significant to the moment and the time of Christ's going to the cross, and Peter being of the primary ones of the disciples and apostles will need that intercessory work of Christ. But oh, dearly beloved, the true Christian will go the step further that is needed, required to say that Christ prays for me, intercedes for us. It's almost such that we need to say it this way, that unless we know how much we depend on Christ's hold on us, unless we know Christ's intercessory work and how invaluable it is for us, we have not come to know the first thing about how weak really we are, how prone to sin we are. For Christ to release us and let go of His grasp of us, how long would it take before we were in the great gross depths of sin that we sometimes criticize others for being in? Lord, would you say also in your prayers something like this, Lord, hold me. Lord, I am weak. Be strong for me. Here, if we can say now what we said last week in a different way, here is something of union with Christ, where the only part of the union with Christ that matters is His hold on us. I think, dear Christians, we have an important opportunity this morning that we must not miss, because we all know, we're so familiar with the text, verse 33, that Peter spouts foolishness. We all know. Yet I think it must also be understood that at the moment he spoke those words, listen please, at the moment he, Peter, spoke those words, he absolutely believed what came out of his mouth. Not me. I'm ready to go to prison with you. I'm ready to die with you. And he believed those words. Notice the shocking reality of our grossly overconfident hearts. It's not just that he believed the words that he said, but by those words, notice it carefully, he sets aside the Lord's promise to pray for him. There is in the original language, and it's well carried forth in our English here in the New King James, two very important connectives, conjunctions that begin verse 32 and 33. They are a glorious contrast. Verse 31 again, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you to sift you as wheat, but I'm praying for you that your faith may not fail. We'll get back to that in a moment. But then in verse 33 comes the second but, the contrast. But Peter says to the Lord's promise to pray for him, nah, I'm good. It's okay, I got this. He sets aside the reality of the necessity of the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, no, I've got this in hand. Dearly beloved, don't we do the same?
don't we do the same?
Here's my challenge to you for this afternoon. Make a list. Maybe for you it'll be a short list because you haven't quite worked through the issues of sanctification all that much yet. But nonetheless, make a list. About what areas or issues in your life are you, in effect, given to saying to the Lord, "No, I'm good. No need to intercede for me, glorious Lord Jesus Christ, on this or about that. I've got this." Please, I'm not just suggesting that you do this because it's something to be added to a sermon, but dearly beloved, we need to wrestle with who really we are. We need to come to grips with the truth about how much we think all of this about Christianity depends on me doing X, Y, and Z and carrying myself in all of these circumstances and saying seriously, "Lord, I'm okay." Because, dearly beloved, if the Lord were to reveal to any one of us the full measure and weight of the list of our sinfulness, at that instant that He revealed the full measure and weight of our sinfulness to us, it would probably crush us in the sense of causing a heart attack or a stroke to see how vile our sin really is. Are we not, in some senses, in the habit and pattern of setting aside the seriousness of our besetting sins, where Christ's intercessory work is that gloriously powerful and at work in us, in thinking in our own minds that we have even some minor role to do on our own in comparison to what Christ is doing? For Peter, it wasn't a minor role at all, was it? "Oh, Lord, I'm good. I'm ready." You see, thirdly, we too will choose to disgrace Him by our sins. Verse 34, "I tell you, Peter." Please, children, pay attention to the slight changes in Scripture when you see them, especially here, the change from verse 31 to verse 34. What change? The change of the name. It's as if the Lord now has to set this apostle, disciple down and look at him straight in the eye and say, "Peter, let me tell you what you are about to do. Peter, you don't know the tenth part. You are about to deny me three times. You can think it ain't so all day long, but that doesn't matter a bit." Dearly beloved, do you see what simple faith sees? Do you see what simple faith knows? Simple faith, as it begins to come into some maturity, as children grow to teens and teens to young adults and adults into middle age, simple faith knows more and more how easily we deceive ourselves. And therefore, how it is all the more important to listen to truth. To listen to God. We fallen creatures need this as step one again and again in our lives to realize that we are experts in deceiving ourselves about a whole list of sins. And that we need now to listen again to the word of truth. We will, not if, will this week choose to deny Him for self. We will choose to deny him for pleasure, deny him for pride, for applause, for appeal, to push away the call to holiness, to push away the demand for reconciliation with another person. We will choose to harbor a grudge. We will choose to pass on the rumor. We will choose to set aside the good thing for things that are less significant. We will choose our besetting sins. You and I are sinners. Do you accept this? How important is simple faith to this most fundamental issue? Is there more? Of course. Are there other things that we need to add to this? Absolutely. Do we need to explore these other things and grow in the truth and knowledge of Scripture? Of course, yes. But what we need, what the church needs now more than anything, dearly beloved, is to be strong in whatever generation needs to know is the strength of these simple things. To recapture fundamental truths like 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Somebody comes up to you and says, what is it all about to be a Christian? What's the gospel? You say to them, 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He was, Isaiah 53:5, wounded. You know what comes next? Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. We are gross, vile, terrible, selfish, wretched sinners. And before we try to tell ourselves or try to wear a mask to show each other that we have all of these good deeds, we need to remember what Isaiah 64:6 says, that they are in God's sight like filthy rags. We all sinned this week. Everybody in this room. I did. You did. And when we did, apart from the work done by the sinless one, God in his holiness and in his justice should have cast us everlastingly into hell. Dearly beloved, we disgrace Christ daily. We need to say about that this morning, yes, me too. Help me, Jesus. And then fourthly, do especially need to hear the Lord's call to return to him. Because we passed on that Snapchat. Because we forwarded that Twitter feed. Because we laughed about that Instagram that put somebody else down. Because we had those lustful thoughts, those judgmental thoughts. Because we lied and we swore and we lost our temper unjustly. And you know the list. We need to hear the Lord's call. It's perhaps the most important thing in this short text. The second part of verse 32. And when you have returned to me. But do you know why? Do you see the careful and wonderful connectedness here in the Word of God for us? Even there at verse 32, there's a cause and effect laid out for us here. I would encourage you to memorize even this one verse so that we might get something very straight and clear in our minds about how it is we come to the place of confessing our sins, how it is we come to the place of asking for forgiveness. Look at what the Lord Jesus Christ says here. But I have prayed for you. Stop. Purpose clause. So that, effect, your faith should not fail. Or else, dearly beloved, so would our faith fail. This Peter, the verse 32, thrice denying Christ, Peter, the one who would at Christ's most crucial moment be the deserter from the Lord, will return. Do you see that the Lord does not say, if you return, I hope that you return. Oh, please do return. But He says, when you return. The Peter who by this time in the Lord's earthly ministry should have known better about his own sin, about his denying of Christ, I wonder. Now let's just think ahead just for a brief moment. I wonder what it was like for Peter years later when he reads the Apostle Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians 10. What Peter would think years later when he reads in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 12, where Paul writes, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Would Peter not with some sobriety think back on his own circumstance? What does simple faith see and affirm? It knows Jesus Christ as my all, my only hope, that He, Christ alone, solus Christus, brings us back to Him. He causes our return. He brings us to repentance. He brings us to confess our sins. Who was it in John chapter 21 who initiated the conversation of reconciliation between the Lord and Peter at that breakfast beside the lake? Was it Peter who spoke up and said, oh yeah, by the way, you remember when I denied you those three times? I'm really sorry about that. No, it was Christ who said, Peter, do you love me? Three times. Dearly beloved, do we confess our sins? Praise Christ for that. Is it that we come to the place of confession and repentance? Know that Christ is working that. And yes, of course, after Peter is reconciled by Christ, he will strengthen his brothers. He will be used mightily of the Lord. And, stop, listen, and he will fall again. That Paul, the apostle, will have need of confronting him face to face. Oh, how weak we are. Do you today know the first thing about simple faith? The first thing. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their sins, their trespasses to them. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Do you know that? That God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing your, my trespasses to you, to me. Have you fallen? Have you sinned? Return. Come back to Christ. And when you do, you will understand in the future that your returning is proof that He was praying for you. The worst thing you could do, whether it be this morning or at some time in the near future, when you are aware of how terrible your sin is, the worst thing you can do is nothing. This is the morning. This is the text. If I can be bold enough to say it, this is the sermon where the Lord Jesus Christ is initiating the conversation of reconciliation between you and Himself. Will you answer Him? Yes, Lord, I love You, but I sinned. I fell. Please forgive me. What have you said about such scriptural appeals in the past? Have you ever said in the past about such scriptural appeals, well, I did that once. I asked the Lord to forgive me. And then I sinned again. Well, stop sinning. Stop sinning. And plead for forgiveness. Make a hard commitment this morning that when this week you and I, when we sin, we will return in repentance and confession to Christ, trusting His forgiving work. Amen. O Lord, our God, this is Your gospel, that Christ intercedes, that Christ brings His people to confession, to repentance, that Christ enables sinners to call out to Him. And so, O Lord, may it be of us, evidencing the fruit of the gospel, to confess our sins, to trust wholeheartedly in the forgiveness provided by Jesus Christ, those living waters, that bread, that wine. May we glory in Him this morning, we pray, asking now in Jesus' name. Amen.